Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith. I'm the Chief Strategist of Social Media and Innovation at Dunham & Company, and I'm joined today by my friend Rob Peabody from Awaken Movement. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, man. Good to see you.
Well, tell us a little bit about who you are in Awaken and what you do.
Yeah, well, you know what? I got a question for you, though.
Yep, you got
Where's the rest of your earbud?
It's right here.
I'm making sure you can hear me. This is tech, so we gotta get.
Those that are listening, I've got the AirPods in, and Rob is communicating his envy and jealousy. And it's confession time here on the Social Media Church Podcast. And he's probably jealous of how cool I look with the AirPods sticking out of the ear.
It's looking good. Okay, so yes, I am Rob. And what was the question about Awaken?
Just who you are, why you don't have AirPods, and what you do.
Yes, okay. I lead an organization called Awaken, and I was a pastor at a megachurch in Dallas for a number of years. Started Awaken back in 2008 here in Dallas as a nonprofit 501c3 to, you know, mobilize the church to go be the church outside the walls of the church and do gospel of demonstration, marry that with proclamation. And, but for the past 6 years, I have been in London, England, church planting over there amongst millennials and the unchurched and, leading pioneering efforts across, the country and Western Europe, and ended up, establishing Awaken in the UK as well. And we've now got offices in Budapest and in London, and just recently moved from being in London 6 years back to Dallas, which is a total reverse culture shock, and we're picking up all the pieces and making sense out of it now.
Yeah, that's cool. So let's dig into that a little bit. So why did you move to London to start with? You moved there to plant churches, or what was the initial thought or process?
Yeah. The initial thought was my wife and I, we had a real conviction and a Holy Spirit prodding on us that, without going into too much detail, I felt like we were doing a lot of church work in the name of God, doing the work of God, but had somehow missed the heart of God in the process. And we were doing great things. It was awesome. But I started realizing that I'm studying the Gospels in the book of Acts. My wife and I are doing Bible study. Yet I look around our lives and I don't know any non-Christians. And I'm at the church all the time, and I'm so busy doing a lot of great things inside the walls of the church, but I didn't have an outlet to go live my faith out outside of the walls of the church with people who are not in my social circle or bubble, you know, in the Christian world. And anyways, God started working on us with that, and we felt like he was leading us out of the Bible Belt, out of the buckle of the Bible Belt, and to go start churches in a place where, you know, if we weren't there, people would be missing out. And thought about the Northeast, thought about where you're at now, New York, Brooklyn, looked at Boston, but had a real opportunity to move to London and work amongst the millennials, next generation, which statistically over there, if you're in your 20s in the UK, it's a 97% chance you've never even met a follower of Jesus in your entire life. And so, I mean, it's completely post-Christian. So we led teams of people starting what we call Fresh Expressions of Church or Missional Church, where, you know, pub church, cafe church, basically throwing a lot of parties, anything we possibly could to meet people and have excuses or rub shoulders with them, and then begin to relationally explore a relationship with, you know, with them, and then pointing them to Christ. So
So let's talk about what is a pub church?
It's the best kind. The Spirit is alive in the pub church.
Is it pub Baptist church? Is
it exactly the name? Yeah. First Baptist pub church.
Pub church.
It's basically, it started with a lot of theology conversations, or we do a lot of pub quizzes. So the English love quizzes, and this is a really niche thing for them. But we would go, and it was already happening, so we're not starting something new. We're just joining something that's already happening, and we walk in and make an Awaken pub quiz team, and you kind of become a local there and just start meeting people. And life on life, we slowly kind of begin to integrate that into Bible studies that would happen there. And we call them missional communities because people are always invited, new people. It's always an open door. And we found that a lot of times they wouldn't, if they knew there was an agenda or knew they were coming for a specific Bible study, they would just bail. But if they're just coming to hang out with you and your friends who are pretty cool and act different, and then they start asking questions why you do what you do. Yeah. So very first century type stuff.
Interesting. Interesting. So out of your learnings there in London and coming back here, is there a core one or two things that you learned that you feel like here in North America that we should really be thinking about or processing as you kind of experience that post-Christian culture and world?
Yeah. Well, a couple things. So when I first got there, I'm ordained Baptist. I get there and I'm taken in by the charismatic evangelicals who just start loving on us. And then I start getting asked to go preach in Anglican churches and then start meeting Baptist guys. And what was so refreshing was that there was no competition in the church. I mean, because it's been in catastrophic freefall over there. And so they are so desperate, they band together to work together. So the unity, John 17, so cool to see. And I didn't even have a box for that, because in Dallas, we didn't talk about competing, but, you know, we all kind of secretly in our flesh were at times. And so it was just a glimpse of the kingdom in that sense that was so powerful, impactful on me. Another thing was, the more I studied the church history over there and see that there's a generation who doesn't even know, you know, all they know is church equals religion equals power and politics over there. And so they don't want anything to do with that. Even though there's a church on every corner, they're, you know, the average church has 20 people, nobody's going, especially the younger generations. But what I realized is part of this decline over there was because there's been this vacuum of discipleship that has failed to transfer from one generation to the next. And as soon as that happens, you know, 50 years ago, and you have another generation who's never been discipled, you've lost. I mean, I think that's one of the huge, you know, reasons that the church has gotten to the place it is over there in Western Europe. And, you know, every young person I would meet that's a Christian, I, in 6 years, never met one who was intentionally discipled or mentored by an older person in the faith or a more mature believer. And I was like, that's got to play a part into this church declining over there. And so, I don't know, when I go speak places here, I mean, those are a couple of the things I really hit on, because if we don't want to have the fate of Western Europe in this country, we've got to reclaim discipleship and get past, you know, materialism and consumerism and how we bleed that into an allegiance with Jesus and get off track. And also just this competition of different silos. Like, I mean, yeah. So I don't want to get preachy, but
that's so good. Well, it has nothing to do with social media, but this is such a good conversation for church leaders, but we will. But I want to dig into it deeper because it's such a good conversation. So discipleship though, as you experience this, cause this is, I feel this, and I work a lot with Pete Scazzera with Emotional and Spirituality, and he's been speaking about this gap of discipleship. How would you define the gap in discipleship, that if there's one element, you know, and I hear you saying relationships, is it relationships? Is it how we're communicating discipleship from the pulpit? Is it philosophy of discipleship? What is the gap in discipleship that, and maybe we're not totally missing it, because you could see that in the UK, they've really, like, they missed it. But is there something that maybe before we lose this grip, if we can change this philosophy, we will really see traction and change?
I would argue, just off the top of my head, that it's that life-on-life, intentional, sacrificial, relational discipleship that is not glamorous and not sexy and hard work that goes unseen. That is true discipleship that you see from Jesus and the early disciples into the early church and being passed on. And when it gets, you know, deconstructed to just become a program that we run at a church or something you can read in a book and think you've got it figured out, I think we've lost the heart of true discipleship. And I know for me personally, like, I wouldn't even be doing anything I'm doing now if it wasn't for a few people that God has placed in my life that become closer than brothers with me or older, that take this time out and spend their money on me and invest their time with me. And let me just learn off of them and just be a nuisance next to them, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's...
That's good.
I mean, that's not... There's no silver bullet, but it's that hard life-on-life choosing to not do necessarily what you want to do, but invest it into other people of the faith, other younger folks, that is going to rock the next generation and keep leading us toward our Bible, you know?
Yeah. But I think you said it so well that there is no silver bullet. And I think that's the problem is too often we want a program, you know, we want to plug in a Bible study, you know, and you cannot be discipled in 5 weeks. Nobody can be fully discipled in a 5 week program. That's the bottom line. But it is hard. It is dirty. And it is not a one size fits all. Once you do this 12-week course, you are now discipled. It's a lifelong process, but it's in depth of relationship. And obviously that's something a church has to prioritize. Shifting gears a little bit out of this movement and the things you learned came this platform, Awaken My City. Talk a little bit about that development, and what you've experienced and seen through that.
Yeah, what I noticed was from doing ministry conferences, books and things here in the U.S., and then also over in Western Europe, I kept realizing that everywhere I went, there were all these people who were convinced, you know, that if they've been in church for any amount of time, they're convinced of the Great Commandment, they're convinced of the Great Commission, they realize this should be a priority. But then we've got churches and a generation full of people who are just stuck, and they don't know, like we're convinced of the why, but we don't know what to do to get to the how, if that makes sense. And so I kept realizing all these, in every context, we're convinced of the why, but we don't know the how. We don't know how this plugs into our daily life. We don't know how to get started. We don't know how this can be incorporated into our Monday through Friday or 9 to 5, you know? And so we had some earlier iterations of this, but with Awaken, we say we exist to inspire, resource, and equip the church to go be the church outside the walls of the church. And realize that there's a lot of inspiration, there's a lot of resources, but it's that equipping piece that kind of back to the discipleship we're talking about here, that is hard, and it's I don't think we've got it figured out in the Western church yet. And so I am dealing with all that, and then I'm on a train in London on the tube, as they my brother can say.
Yeah.
And I read in the paper that the average person checks their smartphone 265 times a day, and that the average teenager spends 9 hours in front of a screen. And you know how a lot of people get like, oh, that's terrible. We can't have that. I instead was like, no, if this is where culture is at and this is where technology is at, how do we leverage that and redeem it for the kingdom, you know, or just use that platform to inspire and mobilize a generation across the church. And so anyways, I dreamed up, I had this vision that God gave me about Awaken My City, and the platform, the tagline was Change Your Community, Change the World. And a guy named David, who was the head of media at Christ Fellowship down in Miami, was with me for a year in London, and they had done an earlier version of a platform like this in Miami, all across Dade County. And so not just mobilizing their church, but multiple churches across the county to be unified to work together. And I was like, man, what you did there, I want to do in every context, every city, community in the Western world, what's it going to take? And he's like, millions. We got to raise tons of money, you know? And so we started trying to do that. And I then had the most supernatural thing that's ever happened to me is get an email from a guy named Davide, who's Italian, in Budapest, of all places. And he's like, we've got to talk. And so we Skype, just like you and I are doing now.
Yeah.
Tell him the vision. He says, he starts crying. And he says, Rob, we are a team of developers and programmers, and we've been working on this platform you're talking about for the past 3 years, and we have the exact same tagline, change your community, change the world. Wow. And he's like, when can you come to Budapest? So like literally get on a plane next week, fly there.
Wow.
Supernatural meeting. They join our team. They're like, hey, we know all the tech, we know apps, we know front end, back end, all this stuff, but we don't know a lot of things you guys do. And we're like, well, we can help out in those areas, but we don't know tech. And so we merged, started Awaken Budapest, and we're off to the races. And the next week we get a call from the Pulse Movement, who's doing this thing called Together 2016 that was in Washington this last July, trying to get a million young adults at the Washington Mall. And, you know, they know how to get a lot of people saved, but then they said, don't know what to do with them afterwards. And so we were like, mobilized those guys, got 12,000 users in our first day on our beta, And it was, you know, I'm just praying that the thing doesn't break, and we're off to the races. And so that kind of led to us launching nationally, this just in January, 2017. And so we've launched the platform out now across the country, and have a lot of early adopters, denominations, and networks and associations that have jumped on, really to help them release their people to go do the Great Commandment, Great Commission, right where they are locally, and be missionaries in their everyday life. And you do like 3 clicks, sign in with your Facebook account, and you're off meeting needs in the local community.
Yeah, so let's get into the technology a little bit. We don't need to get into the code, but let's talk about how it works. What does maybe from a church perspective? How you know, is it like meetup.com? Is it are there other like platforms you would compare it to? And how does it really work to actually tangibly connect people to needs sure. connected?
Yeah, I'd say it's a lot like Meetup. In fact, I actually used to say it's the eHarmony of service for the local church, and marketing people got mad at me because they're like, don't say that. But it connects with people. It makes sense, you know?
Yep, yep.
So I guess I'm continuing to say it. But it connects local needs and service opportunities based on a project that is populated a number of different ways through nonprofit yep. partners of a church, through the church itself when they're already serving locally, and then also on a ground level through lay leaders in the church, the church is given access to, who can then go identify projects like across the street. The lady, my neighbor across the street, her husband passed away, fence is breaking down. Hey, we should do something about that. Take a picture of it, upload it to the back end. It shows up, get your small group to go serve, or your church, or even people on the outside of your church. Cause then that's a good meeting point, cause they might not come inside the walls of your church, but they'll meet your people, which is even better testimony, you know, when they're meeting, you know, people putting action to their faith. And so it connects that side, and then it's an easy way to streamline your people in the church, either from the pulpit, where we've seen a lot of times a good action point is we're preaching all this. Now, everybody in the audience, pull out your phone right now, download this free app, go to awakenmycity.com, and let's move from talking and singing and praying about it to doing something. And here's how we're going to do it. And so literally people can sign in with their Facebook account, and within 3 clicks, they're signed up, ready to go. And we've got check-in features that, you know, so the church gets all of the analytics. So, I mean, for your audience, that's what's huge. Because a lot of churches that we've met, they know they're doing good in the community, but they can't quantify it anyway. And so this gives detailed analytics that are real time that they can export, and they can find those based on church or campaign or project itself, see all the demographics. It maps where the volunteers are coming from. It maps where the projects are. So you can identify, you know, other areas of the city that aren't being neglected that you want to start reaching. And then it converts all of this data to a dollar amount. And so we've done a lot of tech research on what an hour of community service is evaluated at based on what state you're in. And so it does a little algorithm. And so, you know, when we did DC and had 12,000 users on the first day, we were able to come back and say, we, you know, the people of God gave $500,000 worth of human capital to the city. And that's something that the mayor can celebrate and turn around and give us an award because they've never seen the faith community mobilized like this. And so I guess real life metrics, and then integrates with all your social media.
Yeah, I love it. I would love, so you and I come from similar backgrounds of, I'm an ordained Baptist pastor that kind of got into technology a little bit and just saw the opportunity and kept learning. I've probably become more of a techie even in as I've kind of grown in this. I want to hear from you, what have you learned about the technology to speak to pastors of the importance of the technology? And I want to just share a little bit. Yesterday I was at a meetup here in New York that was with the director of product development for the New York Times and for meetup.com. And so they were talking about, you were kind of talking about what is the key to user engagement? You know, is it more advertising? Is it whatever it is? They're like, bottom line, it's creating a better experience. So the key to good technology is creating a great user experience. If you create a good user experience, it's going to increase engagement. And here's what you learned, even just what you spoke to earlier, creating a good user experience in technology is very expensive and it's very complicated and it requires ongoing development because it's not ever done. By the time you're done, you've got to then redevelop it because iOS has changed, Android has changed. You know, it's all constantly changing. So what are you learning about technology now that you're not building the technology to yourself, but you are involved and you're having to learn it? What's your understanding of technology now in this space? What do you think pastors need to understand about the technology?
To add to what you're saying, I think what pastors need to know is that your people are using and staring at this all day long. And if they come to church and we're like, put down your phones now, let's get to the real holy stuff. You know, we've missed a huge opportunity. And so my thought is, you know, let's leverage technology for the kingdom and for people's spiritual formation.
Yeah.
And it needs to be top quality because the user experience has to be right or you're one and done and you've lost them. And so, I mean, it's almost better to not have any technology if you're not going to be able to do it well. And I mean, that's an over-exaggeration and we want people to grow in that, but it needs to be done well. And so I guess what I'm learning is how do you capture a church goer or an average guy who's trying to follow Jesus? How do you capture them utilizing technology and then keep them on your platform and keep adding value to their life to help them? And the more value you can add, the more integral it's going to be to them. And so we're always finding ways to do that better. But just like you said, yeah, like we were testing a new Android version we're releasing, looking at it a couple days ago. And the Android phone we had purchased 6 months ago was not to the next level of the new Android that's come out. Yeah. And so therefore we had an old version. So we're seeing something old and I was like, oh my gosh, this just keeps changing. So we've got a whole team that's constantly staying on top of that stuff.
Yeah.
I think for the church on a mission side, for us to leverage our voice and leverage the believers in this country, we've got to figure out how to leverage technology well, because that is the tool to reach a generation. And I am convinced that God is raising up just entrepreneurs and tech people and all kinds of creatives to fill this space. And it's a stewardship issue.
So I think, you know, in my opinion on this and so many technology platforms that are out there, is I love that you guys, you know, and I, you know, I had a problem when I was at CBC. Actually, I had this exact same situation. We tried to build what you're talking about. We got about $15,000 down the road. We're like, we can't do this on our budget. It's too hard. Technology is expensive. And then I did send the TV apps, and that's where Jay Cranda and I at Saddleback kind of partnered and said, let's build this together and scale it so many churches can use this. It's great as we can kind of partner together around good technologies and share these resources. But technology is just technology, and it's agnostic. It is not it is not what's doing the work of God. Yeah. It is a tool that can be leveraged to do the work of God. And so I think at the end of the day, ministry leaders need to not obsess about the technology. They need to use the technology that's been created and maximize it. But this technology is useless if ministry leaders will own this and say, we are going to inspire. And that's what you're kind of creating. That's a part of this whole movement. But the technology is creating a platform for pastors to inspire their congregations to do something, and then use this as a simple platform to connect people to those needs. And so this tool. You cannot sign up for this, and all of a sudden you're going to fix your community. This is not a program that's going to fix everything. This is a technology that is going to enable you to lead your congregation effectively to begin to initiate change. Right? Communicating that right?
Oh, exactly. And it's completely relevant because it's already where they are all day long. And so,
but
it's just a tool. It's not a silver bullet. Can't fix everything. But if you leverage it correctly and utilize it, it can take your church to the next level. As far as, you know, also my background and yours, I think as a lot of gospel of proclamation and a lot of evangelical side.
Yep.
And what I've noticed big time overseas in the, what I call the future over there from America, is that proclamation is secondary over there, because people no longer want to hear from you until they see the difference in the way you act. So my dream is, if we can mobilize lay people, church people all across the nation, and let them go start listening to the needs of their community and then loving and serving and meeting those needs, then through those relationships being built, then you have all day long to proclaim. And so you've just married gospel demonstration with proclamation for a holistic integrated gospel. And we are ripe for that. And that's the only way. We saw 3,500 churches planted in the UK using that model.
Wow. And so, I think, and people hear that and they're like, 3,500 churches. And that just is, it's different than the way we see church and understand church here. And just wrapping your mind around that. But we cannot continue, you know, that God's doing great things in different ways, in different forms, in different places. But the uniqueness, I mean, my biggest, what I'm still going to stir on, is what does pub church really look like, and how does that translate?
You want to go, don't you? That's what's going on.
I do want to go. I want to experience this, because it's a different world. You know, I recently, maybe a year and a half ago, got to spend some time in the Middle East. I saw church in a different way there. Mm. And I was just in Australia, and the Anglican church has such a strong presence there. In Australia, it's different contextually to what I'm used to in North America. It's not better. It's not worse. It's not, you know, it's just different. But I think the church in America is also changing. And I think there are opportunities for us. That doesn't mean it's changing for the worse. It's just changing. It's different. Our culture is changing. And the way we do church, and the way we do discipleship, and the way we do missions, these terms or whatever we call it, like functions of the church, are still necessary, but they have to be acted out in different ways. And the way you're using leveraging technology is such a beautiful use of technology. This is what I love. We just had a conversation with our friends at Christian Vision, who are doing digital evangelism, different, you know, work. Praise God for what they're doing. You know, I think what we're doing here with Awaken is really interesting, you know, in a different, unique way to leverage technology with partnering with the local church. Mm. It's just exciting to see what's possible today and how this technology is leveraged. As we wrap up, are there any final thoughts you want to share? And then how can people connect with you, and how can they learn more about the Awaken movement?
Final thought for Pub Church is, it's the same element of what we're talking about with the platform now. It's, you're contextualizing. You're looking at, what is culture doing? Where are they spending their time? What are they interested in? And then we're stepping back, or 30,000 feet up, and saying, wow, let's leverage that for kingdom impact and opportunity. So whether it's technology and social media, or it's that Brits are all at the pub all night long, whatever it might be, let's go infiltrate that and have a gospel presence there, and see that that contextual missional piece redeemed for the kingdom. And so, that's what we're doing with the platform Awaken My City. And so to find out more, people can go to awakenmycity.com, or they can go to the app or Google Play Store, I guess Apple Store or Google Play Store, and find the different iOS or Android. And also more information on the greater movements, awakenmovement.com. And then they can find all social media and find me on there as well.
Perfect. So go check those things out. We'll have links in the show notes on socialmedia.church. Rob, thanks for the work you're doing. Thanks for the time you took. Everyone, take the time to go check out Awaken My City. Check out the movement website, and just get to know, download these platforms. Even if you don't use them, download them and poke them around, because it's just good technology that you should see how this technology is being utilized. I think when you poke around, you're going to want to use it. But just download these apps and check them out and see what God's doing with this technology. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast.